know you can't meditate. If you a freak, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. Going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. The players are off here in Berea, but we're not off. Never off. I'm Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
We got a new sign.
Saturday. We got a new sign in here representing the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. But, of course, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by the wonderful folks at Liberty Ford.
Yes,
I'm excited. I'm getting into my new truck this afternoon with Mr. Greg Bumbo.
Swapping you out?
Yeah, go see him down at Liberty Ford in Solon. He will take great care of you. I'll be swapping it out.
Hopefully. Still white?
I hope not. Listen, it's a beautiful white. But I would love a black truck. I would love a blue. I've had a blue. I've had a silver. The silver's very nice. The white's very nice, too.
I've had white. Oh, speaking of the Explorers, I've had white and I've had red. And I preferably asked for black or the gunmetal gray that I am in right now, simply because as I was driving my beautiful Explorer on the road, every time that I saw a white Explorer or a red Explorer for that matter, there was a female driving. So I asked for black and I asked for the gunmetal gray, which I've they've happily heard my request and put me in a beautiful 2016 Ford Explorer, and I love that vehicle. My kids love that vehicle as well.
I bet they do, because it is a fine specimen. All right, we got a big show lined up for you here today. We're going to hand out the grades as we always do on Tuesday for the offense and the defense. We're going to hear from Browns tight end Gary Barnage right here in studio. We also will hear, we're going to have play a little after further review. We're going to have Andrew Gribble in studio to talk a little bit of Browns roundtable. And we're also going to hear from Ross Tucker, the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on rosstucker.com. And he was the color analyst on Westwood One's broadcast Sunday for the Browns Ravens. So he certainly is good. And there's a potential maybe that we are going to hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. So we'll kind of keep that feather in our cap if that does in fact happen. Today's Ohio Business Machine hot topic of the day: DeMarcus Ware not going to play against the Browns. Joe Hayden might not play either. Who's the bigger loss for their respective teams? And, of course, we're going to talk about the grades. But, Matt, as we sit here on this Tuesday, before we get going on to Browns talk, I just want to talk to you about somebody who I know you played with in the National Football League, who went out there after a four-game suspension, 35 years of age, and just went out there and dominated with two touchdowns, and the Chargers fell short to the Steelers, which is upsetting for us in the AFC North. But Antonio Gates, just what a remarkable player, athlete, and I hear he's a great guy as
well.
He is.
And my biggest question with a guy coming off a four-game suspension who has a lot to prove, as Le'Veon Bell has coming off of his two-game suspension, how is he that open in the red zone?
Twice.
How is he that open? And as you can tell on those exact routes, he still runs very well. He still has those very soft hands. And you could tell with Philip Rivers' jubilation after throwing both of those scores, it was kind of like throwing up the bird at a few people, seeing as though he came right back and just jumped right back into the form we saw him leave off with last year.
Yes.
Leading 12, tight ends with 13 touchdowns, I believe, last year?
I think he had the Baker's dozen and then two more already here after his very first game of this season. Today was actually an interesting day here in Berea, to kind of bring you inside the building. It was the town hall meeting, which means everybody in the organization was there, addressed by Jimmy Haslam. We had guest speakers, Tom Zenti, the CEO of University Hospitals, and it was just a very energetic and very inspiring day, and you learned a lot from people who have been very successful both in this building and then outside of this building in terms of leadership style and things like that. And also had an opportunity to catch up with Joe Thomas and Josh McCown during that and really dive into the film. And, you know, it was really funny on the touchdown pass to Taylor Gabriel, just to kind of talk about the subtleties. And this is something I wanted to get your perspective on from as a defense player. So we had run the stretch to the left, play action, boot back to the right. And we'd run that out of our base set, two tight ends. They ran that. It's out of two tight ends, I believe, two receivers, one back. And we've run
12 personnel.
We've shown that on tape a billion times. But when we've shown it on tape, what it's been is always a deep post from the backside, Travis Benjamin, and Taylor Gabriel running an 18-yard dig curl to the out. So, like, just going up and then a comeback to the outside, to the outside shoulder. and Gary Barnage coming back across the formation into the flat. So those are your three reads as Crow sells the play action. So they decided that they were going to change the play up, and they decided to have, instead of Taylor Gabriel goes up and runs like he's running his little curl, but does kind of like a fake, like, so it's kind of like a corner post.
Yeah.
So he sells the outside move,
right,
and then breaks up deep. And then they had Travis run more of a shallow crosser to just get the single high safety to bite down, which he did. And then they threw that. So when you've shown one play out of a certain formation, a certain situation with certain route combinations, the same, you know, three or four times.
Yes.
How hard is it as a defender when you come out, show that, you show the exact same action on everything except for the route that's on your side to be ready for, especially when he shows you the fake like he's running it exactly how he does every time. Is that so in your head that you almost instinctually are, you know what's coming, so
yeah,
you're jumping that, and
you
then
do.
All of a sudden you're like, whoa.
And it's that process that I talk about as a defender that you go through each and every play, down and distance. Where are you at on the field? What is the personnel? Within that personnel, what is the formation? And you basically go through that process of elimination, and you eliminate what the team can and can't do or has done and has not done out of that formation based on down and distance, place on the field, the formation, the personnel, so on and so forth. And you have a short list of 4 to 5 plays that you've seen on film that the team has done. So you use that as a heavy tendency. And in some cases, as you mentioned, just stuttering in guys' feet and getting him to pause, or, you know, that break seven and then that kind of slant post that you're talking about where you fake outside and you run your post, is all you want to do is stutter that DB's feet or have him flip his hips one way, and then you expect that burst out of Taylor Gabriel, who does know where he's going, to get right down to the middle of the field and allow the space for Josh McCown to see the window and put the ball out there.
The other one we talked about, we went through kind of a film study, was the touchdown to Gary Barnage. And we was talking about example of cover zero. They brought everybody. In fact, we were empty, so we had 5 people out to as receivers. We were empty. They brought 7.
Right.
That leaves 4 guys in coverage for 5 guys, and the other 4 were playing man.
Right.
So Duke Johnson was completely uncovered.
I saw that.
So what he said is, and it's amazing how quickly he must process all this information. He said, as soon as I got, I knew they were coming. He said, you look at it and you can see there's a possibility that they show the cover and then they drop out.
Right.
So he's like, as soon as you have to have your eyes down for a second to confirm that they're coming. I confirmed they were coming. So all I tried to do was get as much depth on my
drop
as quick as possible.
Right.
He said, I saw Duke and I knew that there was only one guy over there for Duke and Gary. And I saw Duke uncovered. And as I started to look to him, in my mind, it appeared to me, and it's true, the safety took a step towards Duke. So Gary was actually behind him. If he had been able to get enough, it would have been an easy walk and touch him. But then he ended up staying with Gary. He's like, so I just threw it up to Gary, knowing that there was a jump ball. There was no batted ball situation possible. And if I'd gotten enough on it, it would go right over his shoulder and be an easy touchdown. But it's what I was trying to convey in the room and kind of talk to him about was, he said a lot of things, and that's a lot of different thoughts that happen pre-snap, and then a lot of different thoughts that happen post-snap. Are they really coming? Yes. Okay, who's the uncovered guy since they brought 7? Okay, it's Duke. Okay, the safety actually took a step towards Duke, so why don't I throw it to Gary? Oh, I got to get the ball. It took me longer to say that, obviously, than it happened, but this happens in literally a split second,
right,
from the time he gets the ball to get it out.
And again, I'm not trying to say, we get professional athletes, especially quarterbacks, get paid a lot of money to do all that every single down that they drop back to pass. And I think it's sometimes very, very easy for someone who sits on their couch and watches the football game as a fan and goes, well, God, I could throw it out there better than he can. Probably not. You know, and it just goes to show how much goes into the preparation of the game, the setup of your, not only your game itself as you create your game plan, but as you mentioned, showing them one thing the few times before in games prior, and then finally seeing it as the time to use it against this particular team this week.
So would you do that? And I imagine you save it for a division rival, which is what the Browns did.
Yeah.
But, you know, you put something on tape because you want it to be seen,
yes,
as a tendency, so that you know when you get to that moment and you show it again, they're expecting one thing, and that's when you change
it
up.
Yeah, it's we're going to show them A, we're going to show them A, we're going to show them A, we're going to show them B. And then, again, off of this same concept, and it's the same from a blitz standpoint, it's a little bit more limited because you can't drop guys out of the sky. It's, you know, you're going to show them A, you're going to show them A, they have C, now B, okay? We either go back to A again or you go A, B, C. Well, let's show them C again, and that's going to be you're one up on them in your preparation. And what it really boils down to is, and from an offensive standpoint, what's very intriguing to me is, you know you're clicking when it works exactly the way you drew it up to work. You expect they reacted to one footstep, one outbreaking step by Taylor Gabriel for him to chomp outside for Gabriel then to cross his face and get to the middle of the field.
And he did, and just Josh said, I threw it as far as my 36-year-old body possibly could. And I'll tell you, it was a great play, and it's just fun hearing that strategy. I believe, and I'm curious from a defender standpoint, okay, quarterback A is okay at processing information pre-snap. He's okay at processing information post-snap. But he's got the best arm in the NFL, and he throws the football as accurately as anybody in the NFL. Okay?
Yep.
That's quarterback A. Quarterback B is the best in the NFL pre-snap. He's the best in the NFL processing his information post-snap, and he's good with his accuracy, and he's good with his arm strength. Which quarterback do you want to face?
Probably quarterback A.
Right, because it is – that's what I think – and I'm glad you said that. Not that I was hoping, but I thought that's what you would say, because everybody in the NFL is pretty good.
Yes.
The quarterbacks who succeed and the quarterbacks who don't, to me the most important skill for a quarterback – is processing information. It's why Peyton Manning, if you watch him on tape.
I was just going to say that.
There's no way Peyton Manning should be playing in the NFL right now based on what he is doing from a physical standpoint.
Right.
I mean, the balls he throws right now look awful. The velocity is not there. But he is able to win still with his mind.
Correct.
And when you have it all, like an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady.
Or Tom Brady is.
Then you can do it all.
Exactly. They don't have the diminished skill set physically and still have the very, very sharp mental mind.
Right, and that's why when I was going through my evaluations of quarterbacks that came out 2 years ago, the reason I liked Teddy so much wasn't he didn't have the best arm of any of those guys, didn't have the best body of any of those guys, but his ability to process information and always make the right decision with the football and then throw it accurately was the best. His ability to read defenses, make adjustments, he made more pro-style checks at the line than any quarterback in college.
And that creates a bigger challenge for you because when you play the gunslinging quarterback – you know, that can fit it into those tight windows.
Jay Cutler.
Or even Phillip Rivers, for that matter. The Jay Cutler, the Phillip Rivers mindset, it's like they have so much confidence in themselves and their ability to deliver the football that they'll take those calculated risks. When you're good schematically as defense and you execute, that's when you're going to have a three-interception football game off of Phillip Rivers or Cutler and the demise of Cutler over the past, 18 months of football that
or
he's
Stafford.
Played. Or Stafford. You get a beat on him, and that's why you work so hard, and I know that when we played the Patriots or we would play the Denver Broncos, in my case, it was the Indianapolis Colts, the whole week felt different because you're playing a quarterback who can beat you at that point in their prime with their arms, but it truly was the chess game. You had to show some, and that's why the success we've had against the Colts. I think I lost one time out of four to Peyton Manning. We got six interceptions off of him one night. So it's like we were in his head. You know, we were showing one thing, playing another, that push and pull, just so comfortable in that scheme to go out and actually execute your plan against a guy. You felt like it was more than just a win because you beat someone who can single-handedly beat you.
Right, and the way that – and the NFL today, and did this happen over the course of your career, or was it already like this when you started? But – it's so much now about showing this look pre-snap. They check, you check to their check. And the reason that you see these good quarterbacks try to get to the line of scrimmage so early is so that they can check, you can check, and then they can check again and not leave you time to check the last time. It's almost like a chess match of when you show your check
and why they're
to
so,
the check.
And why those quarterbacks, and you saw it last night out of Phillip Rivers, you saw it a week ago with the Browns versus the Chargers, how panicked he was to get the football in his hands as 1 second was left on the – because it was a check, and then a check back, and then a check again. Now give me the ball. No, give it to me.
I'm ready.
And then, because he's ready, he knows exactly what rush is coming. He knows what coverage he's got based on those series of checks by both offense and defense, that it's just give it to me so I can get rid of it because I know what I'm going to do with the football.
You can't get it fast enough.
No, you can't get it fast enough.
All right, good stuff. We're off and running here. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. It is Cleveland Browns Daily. It is driven by the good folks at Liberty Ford. When we come back, we will open up the phone lines to you, 216-578-0850, as I said. We will also go ahead and get into the roundtable at 1:30, grades 1:45, Gary Barnage at 2, After further review, 230. Ross Tucker, 240. So a lot to get to on this show today as the Browns celebrate the victory. One more day on that victory against the Baltimore Ravens, 33-30. And then we'll turn the page to Denver tomorrow. So call us up. CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.